Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay. All right. So our assignment from yesterday, go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this issue to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, a missing voice, the unknown is exciting. RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sangha. It's Brian from Detroit.
Hey, Brian.
One of the things that came in was that conditioned ego, is there's this constant underlying message that says if I don't take something seriously, then it has no value. And like life has no value if I'm not serious about it. And therefore, I, being conditioned ego, couldn't possibly have any value if I'm not serious. And somehow, I don't think I ever noticed that before, but it's got some weird value attached to it that I can't just enjoy, you know, like washing the car, right? I have to do it seriously because then the car will be much cleaner, and it will be done right.
And you will be more important, right?
Well, yeah. If nobody sees me washing the car, it won't matter because I'll still be more important. I mean, there's a status and sort of a, and it was really a kind of creepy to see because it's kind of that underlying message, and it doesn't make any sense now that I'm looking at it. It's like, well, I could wash the car and just be joyful about it, and the car is still going to be clean. The rest of it doesn't matter because look at the fun I'm having just washing the car.
That's right. You put on your swimming togs and get out that hose and play in the water and wash the car and have a marvelous time. You know, we have two examples in Buddhism. One is Hōtai, you know, that everybody thinks is the, well, I don't know which they think is the garden Buddha, but, you know, the little chubby guy with the sack of things that people in the world don't value, like fun and play and joy and happiness. And the other is just the generic Zen fool, who just does nothing except enjoy life, and as a result, be kind and compassionate and things like that.
Yeah, and that's so true because I think what I've really noticed is that in those moments when I'm really present and I am in joy, I mean, it's really hard to be serious and be present.
Hard, Brian, it's hard to take the ego seriously.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? Because in presence, we have reverence for all of life, right? Ego would want us to turn that into, so you just don't care about anything. You're just facetious and frivolous, and if people die, who cares? Because you're having, that's not it.
Yeah, you're not placing value on it. Hey, if you're not serious and sad and just like, you're not placing some sort of weird value. And I honestly, while we're talking, I'm thinking, I don't even know what that means.
Yes.
I mean, I don't even know what it means by value. How interesting. Right. How fascinating that is.
Well, it is fascinating. And the attitude that you bring to it is going to serve you very well. Because I would guess, I don't know what kind of a number to put on it, but I bet we have thousands of those. Places that just haven't come into the light of awareness.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any idea that we're being controlled by these unknown, unobserved, unexamined beliefs and assumptions. They're just operating down there.
Yeah,
and
I don't...
One bubbled up, and you get to see it.
Yeah, I'm not going to run out of that. You know, I'm not worried about, getting anywhere. It's just that how much fun can you possibly have by examining that thing? And
yes.
I think somebody said life is too important to be taken seriously. Oscar Wilde or somebody said that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've always loved that because it's true. You know,
oh,
I mean,
it's really true.
Yeah, there's so much joy.
Yeah, we really, what we want is to participate in the joy that life is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great way to put that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best we can give to the world. It's the best we can give to our fellow humans.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
All right. Well,
thank you, Brian.
So much. Okay. Go happy.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Brian. It always fascinates me, Sherry, when we have the insight that assists us to see the shape of the process that controls us.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was looking at, so in other words, recognizing the shape of ego is so helpful, right?
Yes.
Because the two attributes that, because then we cease to believe it on the content level because we've seen the pattern of its shape. And so the two places I was looking at when you were talking to Brian is one, that notion of we talk about as separate from life, but the subtle way in which it was manipulating that is assuming that value is assigned through seriousness rather than value is intrinsic.
Uh-huh.
That when I'm here, sacred is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't, we only want that process of separation requires us to create a value of sacred because it assumes it isn't inherently so. That,
yes.
That until
that
I
we
bring
have to,
that quality. Yes.
Yeah, we have to instill it or we have to infuse it or something. We bring
right.
value. Yeah. Ooh,
right,
that is
which
creepy.
Is only a perspective of separation, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's inherently telling me that I must be separate, that I am separate. I am identified with that which does not intrinsically know itself to be what it is.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that is such a clear statement of that thing that I kid about all the time of, you know, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I absolutely believe in God. But don't think I'm going to leave the important things of life up to God, because God might not make the right decision. And that's exactly what you're pointing at, that we do not, at that deep ego level, believe that life is aware of itself, but it is dependent mm-hmm. upon us to make everything happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
Brian's
and
word,
so
again, creepy. That is creepy. That is science fiction stuff.
Yeah, and the other one was negation, right? Because it's my favorite topic of the month. But the negation in that that sense of what it's not is what mm-hmm. I'm always experiencing,
yeah.
right? So it's what you said. If I'm here, it's not a frivolous enjoyment. When I'm here, I can appropriately see when life is playful and when life has a quality of gravitas and when life is reverential and when life is all of that, right? There's
mm-hmm.
a way in which I'm present to what it is,
mm-hmm.
not present to what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's not
a
is
story
what
about what it's not, right?
Yes, and what it's not, which is if I'm here enjoying life, then life is frivolous, is such a non-complex, reductive way of being present to existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's complexity, it's dimensionality, it's texture, it's manifestations in so many forms is completely not what I'm present to. What I'm looking through is a lens that has negated all of that and reduced it to it's only valuable if it's serious and if I'm enjoying it. Then that's not what life is. Of course, that's not what life is.
Right. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. This play is a serious topic.
It is. It's huge. It's huge. And serious in a way that the way we're using that word is the important part of play, right?
Yes, because serious has as one of its characteristics, joyful.
Absorbed. Whole. Yeah. Fully attentive. Yeah. All right. Let's hear from our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica from Oakland.
Hello,
today.
Monica.
Hello. Yes, a big topic, one that I ego had a lot of resistance to compared to the other ones. But this is my favorite question, the missing voice, just that every month has been my favorite question. And it always is something like, well, I like play, or I like money, you know, like it's just that voice that's not in that conversation of what's wrong and what's not enough. And there's just this real clear, especially with the money one, it's like, wait, I like having money, you know, I like to play. So that's my favorite one. And I think for me, the thing has been just like how ego, I mean, what a lot of people have been saying, but I'm tortured by play because what I think is fun isn't like the standard fun thing to do. Like there's this, all this, like, you know, being like going to parties or being social or, you know, being festive. And
going
I
to
really
the fireworks.
Going to the fireworks, for example.
A million other
exactly.
people taking the picnic basket.
And I've never liked those things, even as a kid, I think. And I'm always struck by something that Ashwini said when I was calling about celebrating. It's similar. Like, no one ever asked me how I like. It's not that I don't like to celebrate or that I don't like play. It's just that I have to get out of the conversation of what is play and what is celebrating.
Well, and I'm projecting, you have to jump over the hurdle of all of that. You have the wrong definition, which means you are the wrong person, right? So that dualistic argument of, well, I don't like that. Well, you should like that. Well, I don't like that. Well, you should like that.
Yeah.
Rather than just, well, how do I like to play?
Right.
What is play?
Yeah,
for
there's. Yeah, there's this word that's always coming up, gaslighting. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but it's like such an ego thing of like you're crazy because you don't like this thing that's actually really crazy. Like, it's crazy to go in a crowd and set off fire and then spend like millions of dollars on one night. To me, that's crazy. But then it's framed that
what's the matter with you,
with
Monica?
Me. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Fun.
It's like, wait a minute.
That's fun.
Not fun. Celebrating freedom that not everyone has. Anyway, so yes, that. And one other thing I wanted to say is when I was listening to an earlier conversation about something that was like one of the first things I think that I read about Buddhism, I think, was like the ability to participate in the sorrow of life with joy. And I've always held on to that as some kind of like possibility. And that's kind of what this whole play thing speaks to for me, is like finding that joy no matter what, you know?
Yes. And that the word that comes to me when you offer that quote is respect. That's the only place that can come from. And we could take that into admiration and then all of the, you know, gratitude and into awe and wonder at the many expressions of life, of the intelligence that's animating, and that in the form of people, but, you know, we can add creatures and plants and trees and the ocean and everything about the planet, that there is this expression of life under circumstances that seem intolerable. And yet, that expression, I don't know if it's courageously, it certainly looks that way, continues to express.
Yeah, I felt kind of like a little tearful when you said that. Like it, and the word that came to me was humility, like that humility of like whatever's happening, like that. I don't know. Yeah.
And
what do I know how it's supposed to be?
That's right. And I'll add another one to humility, and that is service.
Mm.
The desire to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of me going off into a corner and licking my wounds because life isn't the way, my favorite quote, life isn't devoting itself to making me happy,
mm-hmm.
How can I help? What can I offer that might assist an expression somewhere in its journey?
Yeah, and that fine line between assisting and fixing.
That's right. Because it's not fixing, isn't it? Because here's the thing that I'm projecting is true for you. It's true for me, even if it's not for you. So that's I'll say it, okay? I would have bitterly resented. I would today bitterly resent anyone who thought they had a better idea about how I should live this life.
Yeah, and did.
Because I wouldn't want to have missed a single step, not a single moment, not a single opportunity. And so I'm pretty clear. I don't want to interfere with anybody else's.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, thank you.
You are so welcome. Is there more?
Nope.
Okay. All right.
See you guys soon. Okay.
Yes, and go happy.
Thank you. Go
All
happy.
Right.
Thanks,
Monica.
Ashwini. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Monica. I think I was looking at this earlier today, Sherry, that if we're in awareness, right, when we're in that perspective of awareness of the oneness of all that is, then the suffering that exists is part of that oneness. It's not other than that, right?
Yes.
And there's a way of being aware of all that is so inclusive.
Yes.
From which that place of, okay, I have to be able to contain that too, that life
well,
is not just the positive stuff,
right? Well,
it's
and
all of it,
it's all of it. And for me, if it hadn't gotten grisly, I would have just gone right on clinging to ego in every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But each time it got grisly enough, I let go of something.
Yes.
And the something that I let go of was not something that was good for me, was not something that was going to give me the life that was possible for me. But ego is not going to turn loose of those things. I mean, it literally, it has to get so awful that finally we say, okay, all right, I'll try something different. And that is, as far as I can tell, that is the path to awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So being given what we want, like spoiled children, you know, anybody who spent any time around spoiled children knows it doesn't lead to anything good. Giving children everything they want makes them into monsters, okay? And we can see ego in action. And yet, when identified with ego, that's what we're doing. I'm not getting what I want. I hate life. I hate life. I'm not getting what I want. Well,
yeah.
How long do we want to stay there before we say, okay, there has to be a better way than this. I'm going to look for what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie. What do you see?
Well, I have some sense that I understand play. So that's a good thing that I have some understanding what we're talking about, I think. I like to walk in the woods and sometimes alone, sometimes with a friend. I interact with my cats, and that definitely play to me. I listen to music, and my wife and I play chess sometimes, and we enjoy that. It gets sometimes it gets us away from just other things, and it's a way to relax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite meditative, isn't it? Brings you into the present.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it's fun.
If you're not in the present, she's going to trounce you, right? Because she's paying attention.
Right. Yeah, you can learn a lot about how you think, and sometimes concentrating too hard seems to be create more problems than sort of relaxing and just paying attention.
Yes. Right. Great definition of awareness practice, Jamie.
Exactly. Right. More effort isn't always the answer.
That's right. That's right.
And as far as issues around play, some familiar things come up, such as, well, there's fear and criticism of myself, and fear of if other people are involved, I may think, oh, what are they going to think? Or I might make a fool of myself. Mm-hmm. With caution, it's like, well, if it involves money, can I afford it? Can I not afford it? Get into that debate.
Yeah.
And as far as responsibility, I can think about, well, I need to take care of business first, or I should be doing, there are things I should do before I take a walk or spend time mm-hmm. listening to music or whatever. And, that debate, that thought comes in. And there's the critic is just filters through all of this, telling me what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. And
so, Jamie, are you really starting to recognize those ego voices for what they are?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's they're not facts. They're just, other than the thoughts, that's true, but
that's right. They're thoughts. They're thoughts, and I would suggest they are ego thoughts.
Right, right.
Because what that does is keep you focused in every one of those situations. It's keeping you focused on conditioned mind, where ego is going to tell you how you should be and what you should do.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean. To me, it doesn't mean that I don't consider things, but
that's right.
I'm not arguing for. I don't think anybody is for playing and not paying your bills or playing and not.
Right.
But it's all part of a process. It's not an either or.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what people, I think, are realizing is exactly what you said. So you have to do everything that is serious. And then after you get all your chores done, you can play. I mean, what are we, seven? You know?
Right.
But that's kind of the same message. As soon as you get your homework done, as soon as you clean your room, as soon as you do all your chores, don't forget to set the table. Then you can play. Well,
right.
Okay, all right. But now we have a different ability to choose. And we realize that we can take responsibility for all of our responsibilities. And two things. One, we can prioritize being in life and enjoying life such that we experience gratitude and appreciation. Okay? And we will still be sure to get all of the things done that we're responsible for. We will. We can trust ourselves to do that. And then it positions us for the next thing, which is, wait a minute, I can actually, now that I know how important enjoying myself is, I can practice enjoying everything, including paying the bills and, right?
Exactly, yeah, that makes sense. And I don't need to, the critic doesn't help in any of that. I mean, being overly critical or
that's right. Like canceling up for chess.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I can still do the things, but I don't have to be constantly or finding fault or looking at, focusing on what might go wrong. Like I can control it all, which we can't control it anyway.
That's right. And so what we can practice is kind of like when we were much, much younger. Just being in life rather than trying to live life through a conversation in our head. Because that conversation is just not helpful.
Yeah, somewhere along the line we lost, a lot of people seem to have lost some of that.
Most of it. Yeah, we became grim like ego. Yeah. All right, well, thank you, Jamie.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jamie. Sherry, it sounds like we have time for one more caller. We could squeeze in 3 minutes.
All right.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. I thought we were going to be out of time. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hey.
No, we have time. What do you see?
All right. Gosh, well, today is my birthday, and so this is a way that
happy
I'm playing to get
happy
to be here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pigeon. Happy birthday to you. What fun. You're spending part of it with us.
I am, and I was kind of, that earlier conversation about the, you know, playing in different ways than maybe as, like, society would say or something. I was kind of chuckling at that because I was looking at that today. Somebody had contacted me and said, oh, you know, are you doing something fun today? And I was just kind of laughing to myself, like, yes, you know, it probably wouldn't sound that way to a lot of people, but like I spent a whole, you know, chunk of time on the year-long retreat this morning because I wanted to get caught up, and then I'm on this call, and then I get to be in the Going Beyond Fear retreat, or Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat, and, you know, all of these things that I'm not, like, having cakes and going out to parties or whatever may seem like the traditional thing, but I'm so excited. I think I'm having a very fun day, so,
I love that. You know, I had that same experience this morning, Jen. I was sitting, practicing, meditating, yes, and then, you know, reading some of my favorite things and just, you know, that sort of thing. And it's a beautiful morning, and the temperature is perfect, and there are birds in the bird bath, and squirrels jumping around, and I thought, this is it. This is as happy as I can possibly be. So I do know exactly what you mean.
I'm so with you. So yes. And I know we're almost done with the time. Just really glad to be here. And just to say that, you know, I watch this almost every month, the like kind of fall behind and then get back in. And it just feels really good. And I just reported about it one more time to, you know, to get tracking because I do, you know, without it becoming a contest or whatever. But I just noticed it's just so helpful when I am tracking, like, right, this is today's assignment. Like, then I'm listening to the call, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm looking at the same thing that everybody's talking about right now. Like, I just see how it's a way that, you know, sometimes it does, like, I was at a place where I had no internet for a while, and whatever, it just was what it was, and that's okay, too. But I just see how it is a way that I kind of get I don't get to participate as fully when I get sort of talked into sliding away from it a little. So, you know,
And what you see is, without any self-hate or judgment, it's just, it's not as fun for you. Right? You just don't get to have as good a time as you would have if you were keeping up. And I'll bet you anything, with that attitude of mind, you will have a different relationship going forward with keeping up, because it will drop in for you to do the assignment when there is actually time for you to do the assignment. Some people, of course, do it right after the show, because then, you know, that's a block of time that works. But it will drop in for you when it's time to do it, and you'll realize that it's a matter of choosing you to follow that guidance. And it is guidance, right? It's guidance coming from what animates you, and you want to be with what animates you. So when it says, oh, how about the assignment? You go, oh, good idea. And you sit down with the assignment.
Right. Yeah, then I really want to do it. It's not some good, or it just feels good. It's more fun. It's not everything.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
And
so,
thank you so much about that, Jen, before you go, that's one of the standards of ego, right? Move it out of want, causes to forget that it's what I want to do. It becomes what I should do. And then resistance can kick in. And, of course, the beatings are inevitable. So just that, make a little list every day of, these are the things I really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, they just feel good, and I really want to do them. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear. Happy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jen.
We'll be talking again in another half an hour. So I get to spend a lot of Jen's birthday with her.
Well, happy birthday, Jen. And here is our assignment. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Your assignment. Rearrange the voices on two sides of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? Record and listen. Example, one side. Is this really a good idea? And that's cautious. And second side, what fun. I have no idea how this is going to go. Playful.
What a fun pair to go through life with, huh?
I know. And so since it's Friday today, Sherry, we'll talk to people on Monday.
Oh, yes. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy.
Take care.
And take good care of yourself, and talk to you soon. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.